Hi, friends. Welcome to the Scripture Society podcast, where we help women on their journey of knowing and loving Jesus more and more every day. Our hope is that we can help you tell a more beautiful story and grow in your knowledge of the one who wrote it. Hi, Kylie.
Hey.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. If you guys don't know, we're recording this, and it is officially, it's before Thanksgiving, but it is Christmas.
It's Christmas season.
It's Christmas time. Personally, I'm a big fan of an extended Christmas season.
Yes.
I feel like everywhere else in the world, you get a full 2 to 3 months of just festive joy and lights and love, and I want that.
I want that everyone. Too. Yeah.
So I'm glad we're on the same page about that, because I know a lot of people feel very strongly about it.
Yeah, it's controversial, but in my house, we do decorate, like, when Halloween ends. So.
Yeah. I mean, I would be open to, like, a rolling scale of festivity of, like, you start kind of getting festive after Halloween, and then eventually you get more and more festive after Thanksgiving. I'm okay with that.
I am, too. And I feel like that's how we literally do that with Christmas movies. We're like, okay, well, we're decorated for Christmas. We want to watch Christmas movies, but we have these, like, ones that we feel like we have to wait until it's, like, right before Christmas to watch.
Yeah, because it's too Christmassy.
So we're, like, building up.
Okay, so what is your festive movie, and then what is your, like, Christmas movie?
Okay, well, festive movie, like, recently we watched this is maybe when we would try out some new ones we haven't seen before.
Okay.
So we watched, like, this movie called Deck the Halls. It's a classic, but I didn't know.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Okay. It's, like, a funny one. So we'll try out some, like, new ones. We watched, like, Christmas with the Cranks, like, if you've ever seen that one, that's a good one. But then the ones that we hold on to and wait would be, like, Home Alone, Grinch,
Elf.
Elf. Yes, like, just all the classics that it's, like, you want to watch it at the beginning, but then you know you'll want to watch it again at the end. And it's not as special if you've seen it, like, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
There's something to say about the beauty that's to come. Oh, I'm sorry.
Were you literally lighting that up?
No, not intentionally, but the opportunity presented itself.
I thought you were lighting it up, and I was like, dang, I've been bamboozled. Like,
no. I am not that strategic.
That's okay.
Only a little strategic.
Well, it seemed clever, so.
Thank you. It just, the opportunity presented itself. I had to take it.
I know, you had to.
My apologies.
But yes, we are talking about the beauty to come.
The new heavens and the new earth.
Yes, yeah. Which, like, I feel like for me, this is maybe, like, not where my mind would always go, like, when I think about beauty. But then when we started digging into it and prep, I was like, oh, this is actually so good. So I'm really
excited. I love
it
when things work out that way.
I know.
When you have an idea and you don't know if it's going to work, and then it does.
Yeah. I'm excited to talk about it. And I'm really excited to talk about it with you, because I know you've been in Revelation recently.
Yeah.
And this is something I'm rusty on. So I'm really excited to maybe, like, give our listeners, like, the perspectives of, like, both, like, somebody who's maybe familiar with it and somebody who's maybe not.
Yeah.
And, like, talking about
it. And so disclaimer, I am currently in the very beginning of Revelation.
Right.
So my church just went through a series in Revelation that was so helpful, because I'd never heard teaching on the book of Revelation before.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize how many silly little misconceptions I had.
So many.
That were more cultural ideas that infiltrated my theology, as opposed from my biblical theology infiltrating my cultural ideas.
Yeah.
Kind of like Christmas, because if you read the Christmas story,
that's so true.
There was a lot of things that I thought were in the Christmas story that just aren't at all.
Yeah.
So that's
so true.
Fun little holiday task.
Yeah, a little bonus.
Yeah. Circle the red things that are not in the Christmas story and your nativity scene. Anyways.
Almost all of them.
Yeah,
but yeah, I'm excited to talk about it. So maybe we can start with, let's start with scripture, obviously.
Yeah.
But how does scripture, we could say maybe the whole Bible, how does, like, the scripture in its entirety reveal the beauty of the new heavens and the new earth? How does it kind of point to it and foreshadow it? Where are we seeing it talked about?
Yeah, I think when you ask me that off the cuff, my instinct is to go to Genesis 1.
Yeah.
And talking about the garden. And this was something, I don't remember who said this. Okay, it wasn't me. I'm not trying to take credit for it. But talking about Revelation is that, like, the Bible does not begin with sin and brokenness.
Yeah.
it starts with Genesis 1, not Genesis 3. Mm-hmm. It starts with, like, the beauty of the earth and the Lord using his artistic mind to create a beautiful creation. And so I love how the Bible is bookended with creation and new creation.
Yeah.
Not creation and destruction, which mm-hmm. is kind of how I always saw Revelation before yeah. digging into it. It's creation and creation.
That's so true.
And so I love, like, the full circle of Genesis and Revelation, how Revelation describes Eden and the garden and the healing of the earth the way that it was always intended to be. Mm-hmm. And also New Jerusalem. It talks about what it looks like for a city of people, a right. man-made city, to be redeemed and restored for the glory of God. Mm-hmm. And, like, what does it look like for us to actually have a space where heaven can meet earth and mm-hmm. God can dwell among his people in the New Jerusalem yeah. as he always intended for it to be, mm-hmm. as it should have been.
Yeah.
And I think that it fits in so perfectly because when we were writing the devotional, one of the things that we were talking about and one of the things that we wrote in the devotional is that, you know, ugliness is the gap in between things as they are and the things as they should be.
Right.
And so, like, Revelation is the definition of beauty because mm-hmm. that's things as it should mm-hmm. be.
Like, in its purest form.
In its purest form, yeah. how they always should have been. Like, that's our life without that ugly gap.
Yeah.
between mm-hmm. how it is and how it should be. And so yeah. I'm really excited to get into it, but that's yeah. kind of off the cuff.
No, that's good. I think that's definitely the right place to start, I think. And then you kind of see it, like, pop up in some random places, like in the middle. Mm-hmm. You see it a lot in Isaiah when I was, like, kind of looking into it. Isaiah 65 talks about it in a few places. I'll just kind of read, like, two of them.
Please.
These are probably ones people are familiar with. We use these verses to, like, really shape our picture of heaven. So mm-hmm. I think they'll be familiar. But Isaiah 65:17 says, "Behold, I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice in what I am creating." Mm-hmm. And then right after that, verse 18, "For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying." So this is where we kind of get that language, new heavens and new earth. And this mm-hmm. is also where we kind of get the picture of, like, oh, well, some things are going to be different. Some ugly things are not going to be there.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, like, we don't know all the details surrounding that, but we know some things definitively. We know that sin won't be there. We know that, like, crying and pain mm-hmm. and sadness won't be there. And those are some of the, like, ugliest things that we're familiar with. So you're definitely seeing this comparison set up of yeah. like what we know to be ugly in our world will be lacking. Well, if there's a lack of ugliness, then obviously it's going to be beautiful, mm-hmm. right? And then you kind of get to see what the actual beauty looks like when you get to Revelation.
Yeah.
Revelation 21 and 22. I wish that I would have grown up hearing about that more.
Yes.
Because it's so crazy to me. Instead of the Left Behind
series?
Yes. It is so crazy to me that all throughout my life when I thought Revelation, I thought people getting their heads cut off.
Wow.
The mark of the beast. Like,
people just getting beamed
things.
Up and you yeah. being left behind.
Like yeah. these crazy things. And it's like, sure, you see things like that in Revelation, which probably symbolic. But, you know, you're also seeing this literal glorious picture of, like, this is what you're mm-hmm. going to be in for eternity, and it's this city.
Yeah.
Which I had never heard anyone talk yeah. about the city.
Oh my goodness. My idea of, can we talk about, like, misconceptions about heaven really quick?
Yes.
And yeah. also talk about misconceptions about Revelation, because I feel like for so long I was taught that Christianity was mostly about avoiding eternal damnation
right.
or going to hell. You wanted to go to heaven or mm-hmm. go to paradise. But the Bible, not once, especially in the Old Testament, uses a phrase, go to heaven.
Right.
It's be with Jesus.
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. Jesus on the cross says to the guy next to him, like, you'll be in paradise with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of Revelation and all of the afterlife is not about going to some ethereal, floaty kind of
right.
paradise, happy place. It's about being with Jesus.
Yep,
it's
being
about
with God.
Being,
yeah.
And being able to dwell with the creator of all the universe, the creator right. of your very heart and soul forever, mm-hmm. and not have anything separating you from that.
Yeah.
And so I think that was, like, a big misconception that I had. And it makes heaven so much more tangible.
It really does.
Yeah. And I think that my misconceptions about Revelation were clearly from the Left Behind series. And I was just so, like,
did you read them?
Oh my goodness, yeah.
Did you really?
I didn't read, they scared me too much. So I read some of them, some parts of some of them. Enough to traumatize
me. My gosh. For sure. Shout out to my mom. She's been trying to get me to read those books my entire life. And she's going to laugh when she hears this. I'm always like, no, I will not. I don't want to read them because exactly what you're saying. I know I'm going to hate it. But,
also, tribulation is not even in Revelation, which is another thing that I didn't even realize until I actually read the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
Because tribulation and all the different theories on when we're going to get beamed up, if we're going to get beamed up, I don't know. those are not in the Bible. Those are all...
Mm-hmm. Ways of thinking about the things that are said in the Bible.
Yes.
But it's like, we don't actually know what that's going to look like.
And historically speaking, it's a relatively new idea. Because that idea only even came up in Christian conversation like probably 100, 150 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's also not even like historically, sustained either. Yeah. But it's so crazy how if you're not reading the actual scripture, what sort of ideas you'll have about scripture that aren't actually true at all. It's so true.
Yeah, it is so true. And don't hear us like, we're not hating on...
No.
On, eschatology, which is like the doctrine of the last things or end times, whatever you want to call it. We're not hating on it.
It's important, for sure.
It is so important, and we have studied it. We know about it. You know, for the purpose of this conversation, we're talking about the beauty of the new heavens and the new earth. We're not really talking about the details, but I think it is important to realize where culture has misinformed.
For sure. Things, for sure.
Right? And what we're talking about here is that we have maybe been misinformed to focus more on the supposed ugliness of the last times, the end times, rather than the beauty of eternity. Absolutely. Which I feel like is what leads a lot of people to, when they think about eternity or end times, to have serious anxiety and fear.
Yeah.
Whereas it should be like so much excitement. Like I think about, when I think about the new heavens and the earth being what I was created for, I feel like so often, Olive and I talk about this a lot. We live in America in this consumerism culture. You know, we think what we were made for is this.
Yeah.
And in a lot of ways, we're here for a reason, obviously. For sure. But it's like what we were actually created for is what we will experience in eternity. We haven't even gotten there, So it's like there is so much beauty that we haven't even really given ourselves the space to consider, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that Revelation gives us a confidence in not only our future, but in who our God is and how victorious it is. And so it's kind of ironic because reading and studying the book of Revelation has actually brought me so much comfort as opposed to fear or anxiety.
And that was the point of the book, right? Like when you go and look at like why this book was written, it's supposed to build up comfort, build up perseverance and endurance in times of persecution.
And I love that you made that point, because I think that that's the biggest misunderstanding that I had about Revelation.
Right. Me too.
And also, how kind of God to give us that. Because he literally tears back the veil of heaven, because Revelation is also currently happening.
The end times have started.
Yeah, the end times have sort of started, and that's not to be like clickbaity, but it's like heaven is a reality that's happening right now, and the Lord is kind enough to give us a book where he tears the curtain to give us a glimpse into heaven and what is the victory and the things that are currently happening right now. Like he gives us a glimpse into the throne room.
Right.
Purely so that we can take comfort and hope in him. And I think that a way that, the enemy can twist truth is by taking the most beautiful and comforting thing and making it something scary.
That's so true.
But I just can't get over how kind, I'm constantly reminded as I'm going through Revelation, how kind of God to reveal this to us.
Yeah.
Because it feels like there's a lot of mysteries of him. And this could have very easily been kept a mystery of God. Yeah. But he was kind enough to show us literally into the throne room. Right. So that we can take comfort and confidence in him.
Yeah. And that's the hope. Like, otherwise, what are we actually looking forward to? It is such a kindness of the Lord for him to give us a glimpse of what we are actually looking forward to. There's still so many mysteries. And I actually think that that is also a kindness, but also, like, it's intriguing to know that we don't know what it's going to be like. You know what I mean? It's almost like a little surprise in a sense. It's like, you know, one, why do we need to know? But then two, it's like, it's just going to be such a joy to be discovering new things about what we're going to be doing for eternity. Mm-hmm. And I've been in this theology class at my church with these women, and the last lesson we had was on the last things, eschatology. And I brought up that in the last Narnia book, C.S. Lewis depicts the Narnian version of heaven.
Hmm.
And it is the most interesting, compelling, like, idea of heaven I've ever come across.
Wow.
And it's just the whole idea of, as you go further into heaven, it gets bigger and bigger, and there's more and there's more. And it's just like, because sometimes I feel like when we think about eternity, we're like, well, what will we be doing? We can't even comprehend eternity, for one.
Yeah.
But then it's like, will it be boring? Like, what's going on? What's actually beautiful of, like, life and in the new heavens and new earth? And it's just the idea of, like, everything is beautiful. There will be endless things to do in the purest form, like, just life as, like, the most perfect version of life that you can picture it, and then, like, even beyond that, because we can't picture it.
I love that. I think that it takes away any bit of FOMO you may have in this life.
That's so
because
true,
because you really can't. I think that it's funny, because one of the main things that kind of motivates us in life is the expiration date on all of our lives.
Yeah.
That's the thing that makes us want to go and do the things that we want to do for the glory of God and explore the world and travel everywhere and see everything. But we forget that Revelation tells us that we're going to have all of eternity to explore earth in its perfected form.
Mm-hmm.
And so really the only thing that you can miss out on is taking people with you.
Yeah.
Because everything else is vanity and it's going to fade away.
Right.
But the only thing that you can miss out on in this life is taking other people with you to the new heavens and the new earth.
Yeah.
And so it really changes everything.
It does.
Revelation changes everything. It changes the way that I have been reading even Proverbs or any other bit of scripture, because it's just that perspective of what is truly eternal and what matters.
Yeah. And I think from the scripture perspective too, you know, what, I mean, we had a whole episode on the beauty of scripture, but you know, the fact that we have been told the end of the story.
Yes.
Before it's happened.
Yes.
Is, like, to me, another added, to go back to what we were talking about a few episodes ago, it's another way that scripture is beautiful.
Yeah.
That we get to know, you know, the complete story. And I just think, like, that just points to the beauty of God and his sovereignty and, like, his power. And I just love that.
His kindness.
Yeah, his kindness. Because we don't have to have that.
No.
Like, we just don't.
Yeah.
It's not a necessity. But I think it's so good. And it really is so beautiful. And I think, like you said, the beauty of these things in Revelation, in the new heavens and the new earth, makes all of the other things we've talked about in previous episodes more beautiful when you're looking at them through that perspective.
Yeah.
That's really good.
So crazy. It's like a magnifying glass.
Yeah.
The things that matter and what is truly beautiful.
Yeah, that's really good. Okay, so what about, how does this beauty that we're talking about shape our here and now, like right now? How does it shape our understanding of beauty in this life?
Mm-hmm. I think the first thing that comes to mind is it makes us more discerning because I think that we're less likely to be fooled by the fleeting beauties or pleasures of this world when we're keeping our minds on the things that are actually going to last past our, what, 60, 70 years, 80 years, hopefully, 90 years, hopefully, maybe. I mean, maybe we'll live to be 100, hopefully, you know?
That's so true.
Like, it just brightens your perspective and helps you see what really matters.
Yeah.
You know, achievements, you know, accomplishments, even doing good, big things for God, like, they're all gonna, you know, die one day.
Yeah.
But, like, who are you? Who has God put in your life for you to, like, take with you and tell this, like, beautiful, compelling story to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always think about someone in high school, one of my mentors or leaders, somebody told me, you can only take, there's only two things that will last forever.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, people and the word of God.
Yeah.
And so when I think about, like, exactly what you're saying, if I were to truly allow the the doctrine of last things, the book of Revelation, the beauty mm-hmm. of the new heavens and the new earth, if I were to actually let that inform how I lived my day-to-day life, that means that the two things at the top of my priority for absolutely every decision, the way that I structure my day, the way mm-hmm. that I take care of myself, the way I love people, is all filtered through the perspective of knowing that people are eternal, like you said.
Yeah.
And then knowing that I have been called to know God mm-hmm. and know myself in relation to God.
Yes. Yeah.
And I love something that Jen Wilkins says, is that, you know, we will be learners for eternity. You know, that's a work that we will be doing forever. And she always says, and I like to think that she says, I like to think that I will be like a little bit ahead of everyone else because of the good work I'm doing here.
Yeah.
And it's like, instead of it being a cop out, instead yeah. of it being, oh, well, I'll do it forever.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I want a head start. So I have the rest of eternity to like get in there and learn all these other things that I yeah. can't know here.
Yeah.
You know, ugh. And it should be motivating. I just love that.
I love that too. I also love the idea. I think it's from C.S. Lewis, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't really remember. But that our lives here are practice for eternity.
Yeah.
And so even when yeah. it comes to the idea of purging yourself, okay, I might get a little Catholic here, but it's an interesting idea. There was like an essay written by a Catholic priest that has a really compelling explanation of purgatory.
Mm.
We're just going to go there, okay?
Wait, I actually am familiar with what you're talking about.
Yes, yes, so keep going. I've said it before. But he makes a case that purgatory is kind of the final step of cleansing yourself of sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so some Catholics believe that earth, the way that we fight our sin and like the pursuit of holiness, is an extended purgatory, because you're trying to purge yourself of mm-hmm. the sin so that you can be with God one
right.
day. And so the Protestant perspective on that is that like, we don't have to work for that because we're already covered by the blood of Jesus. But mm-hmm. I think that's such a beautiful perspective yeah. to have, of thinking of my life of like, how can I prepare myself to one day be in the presence
yeah.
of God?
Yeah.
How can I start practicing now, you know, holiness and the mm-hmm. things of God, taking on his characteristics, learning more about him and his scripture, so that one day I will actually enjoy worshiping
mm-hmm.
him.
Because mm-hmm.
Another part of this idea is that, you know, people who are not Christians, do not love the Lord, why would they enjoy any eternity with a God who they do not love?
Yeah.
That does not sound like heaven.
Mm-mm.
If you're not willing to submit to the will of God on earth, why do you think you'll be able to do that for eternity?
Right.
And yeah. so it's like, this life is practicing submitting to the will of God so that yeah. you'll enjoy it even more
yeah.
when you get to heaven.
I love that.
And
I think what you were saying too is like, that is the perfect, like you said, perspective for sanctification,
yes.
but not justification.
Not justification.
That would be the
kind of Catholic
yeah,
perspective.
Yeah, that would be the Catholic perspective. But perfect for sanctification, the idea of like, I want to be actively preparing myself for eternity. I don't want to just like somehow float into heaven
mm-hmm.
and then just like, that was it.
Yeah.
Like, I want to feel like I am like ready for it. I'm like, if I could work towards it, I would. But
yeah.
knowing that, letting all of my works, you know, be known through the perspective that it's already been done.
It's already been done.
Yeah.
So now I just get the joy of doing eternal work today.
Yeah.
I just get
that.
The joy of worshiping God today
mm-hmm.
and not having to wait for us to die to be with him.
That's really good.
And I love that too.
Like that.
What a gift that Jesus, by his blood, has given us the opportunity to have a piece of heaven on earth right now by being able to invite his presence into your life when mm-hmm. you're gathering with someone else, when you're going to church. Like that, those are the places where heaven is meeting earth,
yeah.
you know, where you're able to enjoy heaven today.
Yeah.
And so it changes everything. It makes you think of prayer as a gift, as reading
right.
your scripture as a gift, as spending time with the Lord
yep.
as practice for what you'll be doing forever.
Yeah. And I think it might give you a little glimpse of like, why that will be a good use of time in eternity.
Yes.
I feel like for a lot of people, heaven is not compelling because they don't enjoy doing those things now.
Exactly, exactly.
But when you are able to cultivate that enjoyment here, then
mm-hmm.
heaven seems like genuinely the best way to spend
yes.
eternity.
Because what kind of God would force someone to love him who does not?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, yeah.
Like, that would not be a kind,
no,
good God.
That wouldn't be love.
That wouldn't be love.
Right.
And so, I don't know.
It's, no, I love that.
An interesting perspective. So, take it with a grain of salt. Yeah. It's, you know, test against yeah. whatever, but it's just an interesting idea that I think has helped me
yeah.
kind of wrap my mind not only around the new heavens and the new earth, but how to live in holiness today and like how to extract some of revelation for today.
Mm. Well, this has been different than other episodes in the fact that we've been extremely practical throughout.
Yeah.
Which I think is really great. So I kind of maybe want to focus on something that is less practical and maybe just like
more fun.
Yeah, maybe something more fun. So I want to know what aspect of the new heavens and the new earth are you most excited for?
That's a sweet question. Okay, I think two things come to mind. I think the city of the New Jerusalem, honestly, not going to lie, when I'm reading the Bible and I hear about like Jerusalem and a bunch of different cities and all the different places, I still am working on building a full context for it. Right. So it's easy for me to tune it out. But when I was studying a little bit more, the symbolic purpose of the New Jerusalem is the idea that all people will be able to work and live together without any conflict. Mm-hmm. And I have recently realized, fun fact about me, I'm incredibly conflict averse. I try to avoid conflict at all costs.
At all costs.
So this is a recent, realization. And so the idea that there will be no conflict.
Yeah.
That you will be able to work side by side. Mm-hmm. You'll be able to live with people. Like, think about the person who you struggle with getting along with at work. Like, can you imagine a world in which, like, people from every culture, every background, every race, every socioeconomic class, like, are able to work side by side together and live in harmony. It's literally utopia, you know, like,
it's that, like, family.
Yes.
Like, when we say kingdom of God, that's what we mean.
Yes. Yeah. And not even, you know, being nice to people because you have to, but deeply caring and loving and extracting so much meaning. Like, think about your most meaningful relationship on this earth. Like, whether it's your family or a significant other or your best friend, like, think about the beauty and the joy you get from that relationship and imagine having that with every single soul.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. It's crazy. I think another idea that I love, besides from being able to, I love to travel, being able to explore all of the earth in its perfected form, hopefully. I'm not quite sure if that's what we'll get to do, but, like, to me, it sounds like we will.
Yeah. I like to at least think now. Yeah, for sure.
So I think that's really exciting for me. I'm not, like, missing out on that. But I forget if it's in Revelation 6 or Revelation 16, but one image about the throne room that has absolutely stuck with me is the one, I think it's 16. It's the one where all of the elders are on their face and they're worshiping God, saying, holy, 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 holy. And the incense of the prayers of all the saints is in the room. Mm. And the idea that, like, the prayers that we pray now are currently in the throne room being the aroma of worship is crazy.
That is crazy, actually. Crazy.
Yeah. And so to think that, like, there's someone who is, like, our prayers are not just going off into some floaty place. Like,
right.
The Lord is catching them in his incense bowl, and he's holding every single prayer in his hand that we pray to him. And one day we're going to see all of our prayers come to fruition in his perfect justice and mercy and will. Like, that is just,
makes me emotional. Yeah,
makes me emotional.
Good.
And that's something that my pastor, I'll have to link that video in the show notes because that's a video that my pastor, or a sermon that my pastor preached on that, like, kind of changed my entire perspective on prayer.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
But yeah, what about you? What are you most excited about?
Well, definitely the travel thing. I said in one of the other episodes, I love nature.
A perfected bus. You'll be able to travel the world on your bus without having to fill it up with gas.
I'm hoping, like, flying around. Just kidding.
Private jet.
Yeah, I am definitely excited for that. So the other two, I feel like, other than that, that come to mind, one kind of related to what you said about our relationship with others. One, it always felt too silly to vocalize, but one, like, fear I always had about the new heavens and the new earth is that I won't be married anymore.
Right.
That feels like, not a fan.
Yeah.
Just not a fan. That feels so crazy. Like, you spend your whole life with this one person, all of a sudden in heaven, it's like, they're not significant to you.
Yeah.
But like I mentioned in that theology class I've been doing with the women in my church, sometimes I do my best learning when I'm teaching, and this was one of those moments, and somebody had brought that up, and I was like, well, you know, maybe we need to think about it less like you're losing the most important person to you and more like you're gaining everyone else.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think it's less that my husband will be nothing to me and more that the connection I feel with my husband, I will feel with everyone else, all of the saints.
Which is so crazy.
And that is not scary. That's incredible. That really is. And I just think, like, and it's not just the people that we know now in our church. You're talking, like, that you're going to have that type of relationship with the apostles, with, like, church fathers. Like, that's just so crazy to think that, like, the type of community we will experience for eternity will just be so robust and deep and rich. So that's definitely, that's a new one that I'm looking forward to. Another one is, I love the idea of the fact that we will be doing work. I love that. I love to work, but I just, the reason I love it is because I don't know what that'll look like, and that really excites me. I just love the idea that, you know, it's not that we're just going to be frolicking and relaxing and, like, doing, you know, whatever we want for eternity. It's that we will be doing good work, work with our hands, work with people. Like, we don't know what it'll look like, but I just love that. That really speaks to me, because an idea of just, like, chilling for eternity is not something that, like, is appealing to me. And so I just, I think that's beautiful as well.
I love that. And also justice. I think that that's another thing that I'm excited about, is there's a lot of brokenness and injustice that just makes me so upset. And knowing that I have an almighty creator who's going to make all things right. And even the justice part is the scary part, guys. Like, it's, it gets a little crazy. But when you see it as, like, this is how it should be. This is the Lord rescuing his people. This is the Lord rescuing the earth. Because he cares deeply about creation. He always has. Like, he's rescuing us. It's not a destruction. It's a rescue mission. It kind of changes your perspective on that, too.
I do love that. And that is such an important
piece. And it's something to know that, like, if someone does me wrong, or does my family wrong, or my friends wrong, because I care more about that than me, honestly. Like, one day the Lord is going to make it right.
Yeah, and I can, it's not forgotten. That's so good. Well, I hope this conversation was helpful. I loved it.
I did too.
I think it's really, I think it goes to show that you can have conversations about these type of topics in a beautiful way. Like, it doesn't have to be fear and anxiety ridden. It can be really encouraging and really faith building.
And you also don't have to know everything about it, because I know very little, but it's exciting when you start to piece together and be like, oh, I know more now than I did a month ago about this.
And I'm wanting to learn
more.
Like, these conversations, when I think about the beauty of it, I'm like, I want to know more about that as much as I can now, you know? That's so good. Well, this is actually our last episode talking about beauty, which is so crazy. In our last episode of season one, we are going to be answering questions you guys have given us, along with defining some, maybe some big words we've used this season. Hopefully that will be helpful to you guys. But thank you guys so much for listening. We really hope this episode was helpful to you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for that conversation. We hope you enjoyed it. If you're interested in finding out more, you can follow us on Instagram or head over to our website at thescripturesociety.com.